with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I had to, even at that, I talked about my ordination a little bit last week, and even at that, you had to continue to even be evaluated to see if you had the what it takes, so to speak, to be a church planter. And then once you go through those testings, if you personality stuff and different things, and then I kind of went to some training, and I went to Orlando, Florida for a week of training, and then I went out to San Diego, California for a week of training at different times, just to try to understand what it means to plant something new. And all the little details that you don't think about. And one of those ones was the logo. What's your logo? And you know, well, that'll, whatever, you know, just doesn't matter what your logo is. And I remember being encouraged, but say something with your logo. Don't just have your name, but say something, proclaim something with the logo. I can remember hearing teaching on that. And so over the years, New Life has had a logo, and it started out one thing, and it kind of morphed into something else, and then to something else, and now it is the logo that you see on shirts and other letterheads and different things like that. And some of this is on purpose, and some of this is by default that God has showed me through the years that this is what He wants for us. There's the vision of New Life in our logo. And just so you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the logo, but I need to tell you, there is this the arch on the top and the bottom. They're not connected on either end, and that means something. That means something that there's this road that is narrow, and God wants us to follow Him, and He's bringing us into some relationship with Him. And He's got a purpose for us, and He's got this road for us to walk on. And I like it that the N is outside of the letter, outside of the sphere, because the more people are coming. And I like it that the N is not quite put together right, because people that come don't have it put together right. You know, and I like that the E at the other end of life is not put together right either, because even people that are here aren't put together right. And it says something about us. It says something about New Life. It says something about that we're headed, we're open for others to come in, no matter what if you're broken or if you're not broken. And I like that it's some printing and some cursive writing, because everybody is different. Everybody is different. Everybody's not cut from the same mold. Yeah, we're all Imago Dei, right? We're all created in the image of God. But inside that image of God, there is a variety of different people. We're not all the same people. And that says that we're all different, perhaps. We're all got different situations in our life. And some of us are print and blocks, and some of us are cursive writings, and some of us don't connect, and some of us connect well. Some of you don't connect as well as other people. Some people connect very well with other people pretty easily, and other people just don't connect well. And God said, it's all here. It's all here. Then just the word new life. And the new life is just proclaiming up front that we are new, we have new life. And God wants new life for us and proclaims it to us that He's got new life. It's here for you. Will you take a hold of this new life that I have for you? The truth is that I have new life, and I want new life for anyone who might be coming in, and anyone who is already in the sphere, and anyone who is heading through that. I want us to have new life. But that new life comes from a passage of Scripture in Acts 5 and 20, and that's the passage that's on the shirt. It says, go and stand. And this is Peter is being told by an angel of the Lord after he'd freed him from prison, because God had sent an angel to free Peter from prison. And he told them this. He said, now, guys, this is what I want you to do. Go stand in the temple courts. They were in prison because they were preaching Jesus. And then he said, you guys need to shut up. And so they put him in prison. And the angel came and said, you don't need to shut up. You can go and stand in the temple court, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Go in the public places where he was talking. Go in the most public places and tell people that are seeking God. People are seeking God. You got to tell them about this full message of this new life, because God wants it for them. And so Peter, they leave and they go out and they go to get them from prison in that story, and they can't find them. And the guy said, that's the guys out here telling people about new life and what God has for them. Part of that new life that that we proclaim, and I hope proclaim clearly, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the full message includes the gospel and beyond. The full message is that freedom that we just sang about. The full message. But the gospel is in that story somewhere. It doesn't have to be in your story prior to coming and being a part of a body of believers. But somewhere in our story, the gospel is there. And I think we can talk about the gospel in four simple words, or four words. The incarnation. If you can get these four words, you can share the gospel with anyone. The incarnation is the God becoming human in the form of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. You can talk about the birth of Jesus. Jesus came to this world as a baby. He was God in the flesh. And He came with a purpose of the Father to do something in humanity's life, because God loves us so much that He wanted to do something in our life. So Jesus became incarnated. He became the flesh, God in the flesh. And then the cross. We talk about the cross, and we talk about the lostness of man, and talk about how our sins separate us from God, and how that is a reality to us. But God loved us so much that Jesus in the incarnation came as a man. And then that man went to the cross. And that man went to the cross to pay for the sins of my sins and your sins and the sins of the world for anyone who will receive Him. You can talk about the cross, talk about the incarnation, talk about the cross, talk about the resurrection, because if your Savior can't defeat death, how is He going to help you defeat death? And God, in His mighty power, raised Jesus from the dead and defeated death in Jesus' life. And now Jesus can defeat death in your life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He came so that He can do the work of the cross, so He can offer forgiveness to you and I, so that He could give you life after He got life through the resurrection and then His ascension into the Father's presence, where He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He ascended. Why did He ascend? So He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He's applying that to anyone who will come to Him in faith. He'll apply that forgiveness that was on the cross. And He'll apply that new life to anyone that will come to Him. That's the gospel. In that journey, as we are on in our faith journey, the gospel has to become part of that story. And John 1:12, we know it well. Yet to all who receive Him, He talks about it in verse 11, some people have rejected Him. Whoa, He said, I know some people will reject. I know. But yet to all who receive Jesus, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The work of the incarnation, the work of the cross, and the work of the resurrection, and the work of the ascension. Boom! Right into one person's life. Bang! You are a child of God. Woo! Lest we never forget the gospel. This world needs the gospel. I'm going to work hard never to forget the full story of this new life, this full message of this new life. But somewhere in that story has to be the gospel of the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And yet to those who receive Him by believing in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So if I would do a little survey this morning, it says, where were you when that came into your life? Where were you when you finally realized that the gospel was real for you? Where were you when God was knocking on your door? Where were you geographically? And some of us were in school and a teacher was telling us. Some of us were later in life and we were not supposed to be where we were, and we heard the gospel anyway and God knocked on our door. Some of us were in prison and some of us were somewhere else, and some of us were lost. And where were you? Where were you geographically? Where were you? What age were you? What situation of life were you in? What was going on in your heart and your mind and your soul at that moment? Can you remember back at that moment when the gospel became real to you? When you knew, if I only believe at this moment, something's going on inside of me right now. I feel it. I feel what God's doing, and sometimes I felt good, and sometimes I felt like garbage, but I knew that God was doing something. As I spent that moment in that evening of July 18, 1996, I know I was wrestling with something I had never wrestled with before. Where were you? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember when you believed and received? Do you remember that you were five? And God, because of the environment, maybe your mom and dad put you in, or because people around you, you got to know Christ early in your life. Do you remember? Maybe it was you. Maybe it was you sitting in the prison, and you finally realized that God was real. He's got a life for you. Maybe you were just walking through life, and all of a sudden, somebody got a hold of you. Do you remember that time? Do you remember those moments? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to the people, the church, the brothers and the sisters, the people who had received the gospel, the people who had come into faith with Jesus Christ, the people who had heard the incarnation story, who had heard the cross story, who had heard the resurrection story, who had heard the ascension story, and boom, believed. He's talking to those people. Think of what you were when you were called. When you were, remember the point, the ponder point number two from a couple weeks ago, called, divinely selected and appointed. Remember, hey, think, brothers, think about what you were. Think of what you were when you were called, when you were summoned by God. Because see, you didn't seek God; God sought you. He was the one that knocked on your door. You're not knocking on his door because you don't know enough to knock on his door. But he knocked on your door. Brothers and sisters, people of Jesus, do you remember? He said, do you remember? Think of what you were when you were called, when you were summoned by God, when you were selected by God to hear the story at that moment. Can you imagine that? That should put some hair up on our necks and on our arms. That at that moment in your life when you knew and you come to Christ, that God has selected that moment for you to know His love for you. Oh, maybe He had selected a day before that, or a week, or a year, or half a life ago before that. Maybe He selected several moments, but He has selected this moment for you. He said, remember that? Brothers and sisters and people of Jesus, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were wise. As a matter of fact, not many of you were making all the right choices in life. You were, as a matter of fact, you were unwise. Do you remember that? Do you remember when I had it all together? I was the wisest person in the world, and Jesus showed up at my door. He said, I don't think that's true in most of your lives, he said. He said, remember back to that time. See, he's gotten to get the Corinthians to remember back at that moment when that come into their life. He said, not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many of you were influential, which means excelled in life, and I was powerful, and I had all kinds of, I just would snap my fingers and people would do things. I don't get that description in anybody, he said, in your midst, that had that influential status. Not many of you were noble at birth. High-ranking position. Basically, you were unwise and you were unimportant and you were just a common everyday mutt. That's what he's saying. That's what I would translate this as. You're unwise, you're not important, and you're a common mutt. But look at it. But God chose the foolish things, and I like foolish things because foolish, the word foolish is the same word we translate moron, which can be blockhead or bonehead or numbskull. So now you are unwise and you are unimportant, you're a common mutt. As a matter of fact, you're a blockhead. You're a bonehead and you're a numbskull. See, that's the way I would translate this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise things. You know, and not to, he's just showing the wise this doesn't have to be. This is not your, you don't have to have this in your repertoire. You don't have to have this in your life. You can be unwise. You can be unimportant. You can be a common man. You can be a moron. As a matter of fact, some of you were. Look in my mirror. Some of you were. And you're a bonehead and you're a numbskull and you're a blockhead. But that didn't seem to matter to God. Isn't that beautiful? But God chose the foolish things of this world to show the wise things of this world. You don't have to be wise. You can be a numbskull. But God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, or to show the strong. You don't have to be strong. You can be weak. You can be feeble. You can be sick. Look what he says in verse 28. He chose the lowly things. Look what he's saying. Lowly things of this world to despise things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So now you're lowly or a coward. Now you're despised, least admired. And now you are the things that are not, or you're empty. So this is the description of people that come to Christ. You're unwise. Push the button, please. You're unwise. You're unimportant. You're common. Mutt, you're a blockhead, you're a numbskull, you're feeble, you're sick, you're cowardly, you're the least, and you're empty. Sign me up, baby. Aren't you glad that that is the people, that is the menu or the description of people that can come to Christ? Come on out. Isn't that beautiful? That's the people, that's the ones, so that no one may boast before Him. Because it doesn't matter to Him. You're not going to say, "Whoa, God, man, I'm a good catch." He said, "No, really, you're a bonehead." "I am sure I can do things for you." "Really, you're sick and weak. But I love you anyway. And this is for you." Remember Church of Corinth? Remember New Life? Remember those moments? You remember what you were when you come to Christ and He didn't care, but He just come into your life anyway? He didn't matter if you stunk. He didn't matter if you were in jail. He didn't matter if you were five. It didn't matter to Him. Look what He says in verse 30. It gets better. "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus." It's God's choice. Not only to bring you the gospel, which is a portion of this full message of this new life. It's not only God's choice to bring you the gospel, but it's God's choice to put you in Christ Jesus. Now listen, you didn't just enter Bible school here. You just didn't enter a licensing program. You didn't just enter an ordination system. You just didn't enter some boot camp for spirituality. It's not like I made it into boot camp or I made it into this licensing process. I made it into this college. Now if I work really hard, I can have what God wants for me. He said, "You're already in. You are in. Bonehead, you're in. Numbskull, you're in. Weak, you're in. Because I love you." Isn't that beautiful? You know what that does for me? It means I can share the gospel with any numbskull in this world and God loves them. I don't have to filter out anybody because God didn't filter out me. Am I worthy to have the gospel? No, it's God's mercy and His grace, right? It's beautiful. This is a thing of beauty. God says, "You are in Christ." You didn't get my acceptance letter into college and see if you can make the cut. You are in, baby. You're in. I think sometimes we just need to look in the mirror and just remind ourselves, "I'm in." Because I look in the mirror and say, "Man, I've been a bonehead today." God says, "I know, but you're in. You're in. I'm even feeling weak today." He said, "I know, but you're in. You're in. You're not working toward it. You're in. Because of God. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Listen, now the rest of this verse tells us what that package looks like. When you're in Christ, look what he says, who has become for us wisdom from God. And then you see the two little dashes. I didn't add that. The translators add that. That is, now we're going to explain what the wisdom of God is. The thinking of God. It all means, it's all definition of being in Christ. It's the wisdom of God. It's God's choice. Wisdom is the supreme plan of God and how to carry out that plan. He's making that revealed to us. He's revealing that to us. You are in Christ, and I want you to know what you have when you're in Christ. Just let me start with the three major points, he says. Am I making sense today? It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, or God's perfect plan, or God's plan to the best end. The best plan to the best end. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's part of being in Christ. That's the three major things he wants us to understand. This is what it means to be in Christ. Let me unpack that for you a little bit more. I don't want you just to say, I'm in Christ. I want you to know some of the impact of being in Christ. I know it doesn't matter who you were when you heard the gospel. I'll divvy it up and I'll serve it up to people over and over and over and over and over. You have to be any place in life. You don't have to be any special life status. You don't have to have any of that. And when you come to Christ and you receive the gospel and you receive that good news, that incarnation story mixed with the cross story, mixed with the resurrection story, mixed with the ascension story. And I believed and received Jesus. This is what's happened in your life. You've got more. We say, I got Jesus in my heart. That's truth. And you're in His. But this is what it means. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. Christ brings and unleashes the best plan to the best end. Because the wisdom of God is the best plan to the best end. God said, this is what you need for the best end, the best plan to get to the best end. And I went back to Isaiah 55, and it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and this is God speaking. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts greater than your thoughts. But through Christ, I'm going to tell you some of those thoughts. Because He is the wisdom of God. And you are in Christ. So you're standing in the wisdom of God. I want you to know what you're standing in. That's what he's saying here. I don't care if you were unwise or lost or broken or feeble. I want you to know now who you're standing in. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness. That is our righteousness. I need you to know, God said, I need you to know. And I'm going to tell you through Jesus that when you receive Christ, when you are in Christ, this is what you got. You got the total package, baby. You got it. You are righteous. You went from numbskull to righteous.
Come on now.
You went from a moron to righteous.
Come on now.
You went from sick to righteous. Because you're in Christ. God says, you're going to need this. This is my best plan to the best end. And this is the wisdom from God. You're going to need this. But Titus says this, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. So it's not, I didn't get it right long enough. It's the number one resistance to the gospel that I hear. I am not right with God. I am out of sorts with God. I am not doing what I should be doing. I'm not. And all of a sudden, you just got to say, God says that's okay. That's the people He's looking for. He already knows you're not, and He wants to make you righteous. Because you're going to need righteousness. You're going to need the imputed righteousness of Jesus. You're going to need the righteousness that is accredited to you when you're in Christ. Because you need righteousness, God said. You're going to need it in your salvation. You're going to need it to walk it out. You're going to need this. You are in right standing with God. Why? Because Christ is in right standing with God. It's the imputed righteousness or justification, whatever you want to call it. It's God legally declares you not guilty. And not only that, but He declares you acceptable before Him. You can come before God. You have been authorized to come before God. You ever see these around someplace? Whoa, 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 whoa. You've got to be authorized personnel only. And God says, I know that you're not authorized. And in Christ, you're going to get authorized. You're going to get authorized to come into My very presence. So that stop hand turns into an open door when Jesus comes into your life. Does He take away? Do you still need to be authorized? Certainly you do. But you're in Christ. And when you walk through the door, He sees Jesus because you're in Christ. And He has made you right with Him so that you can come into His very presence. You can walk with God. I'm not getting it right enough yet. It doesn't matter. You'll never get it right enough until you walk into the presence of God. Stop waiting to get it right to walk into the presence of God. And He would not have made you righteous if you could get it done on your own. You can't get it done on your own. And you're in Christ and you have Jesus in your heart, which means that you have been declared righteous before God. You have been authorized by God to come into His very presence. He stamped this authorization on you. You got the badge, baby. Your letters read right now. Your fingerprints are right. Your voice recognition sounds like Jesus. The doors open up. Where am I going with this message? I asked myself that several times through this week. Where am I going with this, God? Where are you going with it? You see, I think I struggle in life, and I think I struggle in this full message of this new life. I think I struggle in walking it out because I think I'm walking it out so God will approve me when I need to realize God's already approved me. Amen. It's already done. You are in Christ. We need to stop working harder to get into the presence of God and start thanking Jesus that we have been authorized to get into the very presence of God. Isaiah, we can go back to Isaiah chapter 6, and it's not on the screen, but you can go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and we see him in the very presence of God, and the first thing he realizes when he's in the presence of God is the picture around him. This is amazing. He's like, whoa! And then he realized, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am so broken. I am such a moron. And in that very presence, you know the story maybe as well as I do or better. But God sent a coal from the altar and touched his lips. Because he had been certified to come into the very presence of God. Don't try to get it right before we come into the very presence of God. Because Jesus already got it right. And he's applied that to you and to me. And God says, you're going to need authorization. You're going to need to be able to come into my very presence. In Christ and through faith in him, you may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's a done deal. You can approach God. Look what he says in Hebrews. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Why do I need the very presence of God? Right there. If you're looking for a memory verse for February, that's a great one. And I'm just assuming everybody's memorizing at least one verse a month. The Dolan is. I wouldn't memorize that one. That one's a great one. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence because you have been authorized. Why? So that we may receive from God, receive what is undeserved mercy, and to find grace. You don't deserve it, but it's grace to help us in our time of need. God says, wait a minute. The wisdom of God says, wait a minute. For the best plan, the best path to get to the best end, you've got to have the presence of God opened up in your life. And so in Christ, I've opened that so that you can seek this, so you can get mercy, so you can have grace, so that you can get help when you need it. Does that make sense this morning? It is because of God that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness and our holiness. The same word is sanctification. Sanctification is, and their holiness is, the separation from the world and set apart for God's service. You see what God's doing here now? He's raising up an army. You see what He's doing? He said, you got to know, I'm raising up an army. You got to know, I don't need to give you access to me, but I've given you holiness. I've sanctified you. I've pulled you out of the world and set you apart for my service. God said, this is what I've done in your life. And Ezekiel 36 says this, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In Galatians, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then I wrestled this week with a new heart, and new access to God, and a new way of thinking, and I'm seeing things with different eyes. And God's best plan to the best end includes a divine call in equipping by sanctifying me. I don't only want you to come into my very presence, and so I made you righteous. But I want you to be an army. I want you to take what I'm going to give you. I put a divine call in your life, and I put a divine equipping in your life. It's called holiness. It's called sanctification. And I've done this in your life. You can now say I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And if I don't give you the ability, I wrote this in my notes, and wrote this on my blotter, and I'll be transferring it into my thinking book. And this is God speaking. If I don't give you the ability to follow the heart of Christ, you will go crazy. Let me explain that. He can't give me the heart of Christ and not give me the ability to follow that out, because I will go crazy. He said, not only did I do that, but now I have sanctified you. I have given you a kingdom awareness. I have given you a kingdom authority. I have given you kingdom armor. I have prepared you to do kingdom work. That's part of the deal. It doesn't matter where you came or how old you were. You got it, baby. You got that. You have a kingdom awareness and authority, and you have kingdom armor. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which He has prepared in advance for us to do. He said, I got it. I got a battle plan. I got a plan for you. And I'm equipping you to do it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can do what? So you can do battle. I've given you my very presence. And I've given you this equipping I'm calling holiness or sanctification in your life. I'm giving you this divine call and this divine equipping. You got to know you got it. You got to know that it's there. You got to know that I'm doing it in your life. You got to know that you're standing in Christ. And standing in Christ means that you have a kingdom purpose. And you have a kingdom authority. And you can do battle because you have kingdom armor. And I've got plans for you. You're in Christ. You can come into my very presence to seek anything that you want. Anything, mercy, grace, help, it's all there. Come in. You're qualified. You're authorized to come into my very presence. And then let me pour into you this sanctification, this divine call, and this divine equipping, and this kingdom attitude, and this kingdom armor, and this kingdom awareness, and this kingdom authority. I don't think the church has enough of that. We don't realize that we're there. Let me correct that. We got enough of it. We don't know that we're standing in it. And we go through life, oh, bother, my tail's nailed on, little Eeyore attitude. When I think God wants us more like the Tigger. Woo! I want to be a Tigger, but some days I'm an Eeyore, baby. God says, man, you don't know what I've done in your life. You've got access. You have been authorized to come into my very presence. And I have waped on you this divine call and this divine equipping into your life. And I call that in Christ. You call it Jesus in your heart or saved. But it's much more than what you're thinking that it is. Psalm 23:5. Just so you know, I put this in and took it out, put it in and took it out, and put it in and took it out, and put it in. My word processing program was to say, will you make up your mind? But God says, I prepare a table before you in the very presence of your enemy, and he can't do a thing about it. Belly up to the table. Because you have kingdom appetite. Do you have a kingdom appetite? You have kingdom authority. You have kingdom armor. You have kingdom awareness. I'm going to preach a message on all the kingdom A's. God says, you're going to need a kingdom appetite. Let me give it to you. You're in it. Now I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy, of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. And it runs off of me and my cup is overflowing. That's a done deal. Verse 4 is not, if I work really hard, verse 5 can be allowed in my life. That is done. The table is prepared. You have been anointed. And your cup overflows. How about kingdom anointing? I can go on and preach that whole message right now. You have a kingdom anointing, a kingdom authority, a kingdom awareness, a kingdom appetite. We're more Tigger than Eeyore, so we need to stop acting like Eeyore. Verse 30, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our, I didn't even address that, our, yours, done deal, it's in the contract. Our righteousness, in our holiness, in our redemption. You know what redemption means? It means freed from and drawn to. It's freed from and drawn to. And I think this is just two parts. Part A is you are going to need to know that you are redeemed, that you are paid for dearly. I paid for you. You have great value for me. To me, I paid for you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let this world tell you how valuable you are. I paid the highest price for you. And you are redeemed. I bought you off the slave block. I bought you and I paid for you. You were bought with a price. Push the button, please. You were bought at a price. Why are you becoming a slave to man again? I redeemed you, blockhead. Stop acting like a blockhead. You have been redeemed. I bought you with a price. And I think we need to know that. I think we need to know in this salvation, it was costly. It cost you nothing. But it costs greatly. God says, I redeemed you. Oh, I've given you righteousness. I've authorized you to come into my very presence. I've given you this holy call and this holy equipment. I've given you all this kingdom awareness and authority and armor and attitude. I've given it to you. You're standing in it right now. But I need you to know you're fully mine. I paid for you lock, stock, and barrel. Your allegiance is to me now. And part B on that is your redemption is good forever. Hebrews 9:12 says this. Jesus did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, the very presence of God, once for all by his own blood to obtain eternal redemption. Not only did I buy you, and you are of great value to me, and I paid a high price for you, I'm never going to sell you. I'll never push you out of the kingdom. It is good for this earth and every moment after that. When we've been there 10,000 years, there'll be no less days for our redemption to be known. I've got you for a lifetime and beyond. And beyond and beyond and beyond. Eternal just simply means endless. You have endless redemption. That's good stuff. You have righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, therefore... As it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Because you didn't do any of that. As a matter of fact, you were a blockhead. And you were weak. And you were sick. And you were unwise. And you were just a common mutt. But because of God's love for you, he took you off the streets. And he gave you He's authorized you to come into his very presence. He's put a holy call and a holy equipping on your life. And he's redeemed you for now and forever. You have great value. So whatever we want to call it, are you saved? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Are you in Christ? That's what it means. Let me say this again. This is the end of my notes, I promise. See verse 31? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who the lost world is. God loves them. The gospel will always be a part of new life. Because I want people to know and the people to experience the very presence of God. I want them to experience and to know the divine call and the divine equipping. And I want them to experience and know that they have been redeemed forever. Stand with me today. Father, we sang songs today. He paid the highest price. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for not trying to check off the list. Has this guy got it together? No. Well, maybe we'll wait till next year. Maybe he'll get it together. Is this guy just being a numbskull? Yeah. Maybe we'll wait till another year and see if he gets it straightened out. This guy is sick. Yeah. We'll wait for another year and make sure, see if he gets better. No, you didn't do any of that, God. You say, sick, lost, blockhead, weak, unwise, common mutt. Man, I love them. And I love them so much that I want them to be in Christ, and I want them to have righteousness and holiness and to know the redemption that I have already completed in their life. Father, help us as a church, help us as individuals, help us as a body of believers to know this in our own life, but then to see this world and not try to check off the list of people in the world, but just be readied by you and ready to any moment to be the one who says, God loves you. Just see where it goes. Father, thank you. As we leave this day, Father, we have released our worship. We have released the Word of God. And now in Jesus' name, we're being released by the church into a world that so desperately needs us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.